Good morning, everybody. Let's open in our Bible back to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I want to read the words of Paul that he wrote to the Corinthians. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Do we sometimes forget? Do we not oftentimes forget that there is coming a day when there will be no more sin? There'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more death. There is coming a day that we will be like Christ. Paul also wrote in the Corinthians, to the Corinthians, he says, now we see through a glass darkly. We see darkly. But then we'll see face to face. Now, there's three questions that I want to address quickly before we go into this passage. First, who is writing this? And to whom is it written? And also, why was this written? Well, this is the Apostle John. This is John the Beloved who is writing to the churches. This is John who went at the Lord's at the upper room when the Lord said, one of you all are going to betray me. John leaned his breast upon the Lord and said, Lord, is it I? I can identify with John. It is John who often wrote to his brethren and he called them little children. So this is John, the apostle who is writing. And he is writing to the seven churches and to the saints. He is writing this morning to you and I. Well, why is John writing this? He is writing to bear record of the Word of God, Revelation chapter 1. And he is writing to record the testimony of Christ. And he is writing to bear the things that John saw. In Revelation 1:3, it says, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. We are given this morning from the Lord a blessing from his word. Now, let's look at verse 1, or not rather verse number 9, where we began our reading this morning. And it says, and after this, I beheld. John is saying, I saw. What he is getting ready to follow with, what he is getting ready to say, is something that John saw. I beheld. There are only two other occurrences in the scripture that I know of that saw anything remotely to what John saw. First, there was Paul, who in Corinthians wrote and said that he had been caught up to the third heaven and that he had seen things that was unspeakable for him to utter. And as a matter of fact, Paul said the reason he even mentioned this is that Paul might tell of the thorn that was in his flesh. And the things that he saw, Paul said, he couldn't even mention it. And then there was another occasion that I know of in Isaiah. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord lifted up. And what did Isaiah say about these things? He said, woe is me. I am a man undone because I am a man of unclean lips. and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And when I look at Isaiah's words, and I believe this morning when you look at Isaiah, and we see that throne and the smoke and the holiness of God, for us, it is unapproachable. For us, we see the holiness of God, and with Isaiah, we say, "Woe is me." But John says, "I beheld." And let us read what he beheld. "And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne." Who are these people that are before the throne? "And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand," verse 10, "and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood before around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came thou? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, there are three things from this passage that I want us to look at this morning. Okay, three things. First, in verse 9, it says there was a great multitude. There's a great multitude. And what I want to do this morning is let us see who are these people. And then secondly, in verse 10, it says, "And they cried," this great multitude, "they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God." What do they mean by this? What do they cry or declare in this when they say salvation to our God? And thirdly, let's read verse 13 and 14. "And one of the elders answered, saying, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came thou? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." What is this great tribulation? So again, this morning, if the Lord would help us, I want to say, who are these people who are arrayed in white robes with palms in their hands? And then secondly, what do they mean when they cry salvation to our God? And then thirdly, again, who are these? What is this great tribulation? Now, first of all, who are these which no man can number? First, this is you who believe on the Son of God. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, in verse 40, again, who are these which no man can number? "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Are we not reading about that last day? Who then will believe? John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. They shall believe. And look also what it says in verse 39. All that come, I shall lose nothing. You see, this great number that is in this great day is a whole number. It is a complete number. It is a number that no man can number, but it is a number that is missing no one. All that the Father has given to the Son will be there in that day. And then secondly, who are these that no man can number? These are the children of promise. Now, if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 17, our Lord speaking to Abraham told him, he said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. What is it that we read in our text? That there before the throne of God was a number that no man could number. And again, verse 18, it says, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. You see, these are the children of promise. These promises were made to Abraham. They were promised to Abraham, but Christ was in Abraham when God made this promise. Just when Abraham was in Mephibosheth giving offering, just as Christ was in Abraham giving offering to Mephibosheth, also Christ was in Abraham when God made him this promise. In Galatians 3:29, listen to this. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, here in Revelation chapter 7, we see the fulfillment of a promise. We see the fulfillment of a promise of a people that God swore that he would bless. And then secondly, in Revelation chapter 7, it says in verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. They all declared this, and they all cried this. But notice with me that no one in this great number is boasting of their works. None of them. No one is saying, I cast out devils, or I preached in your name, or I accepted Jesus, or that I was baptized. No, they cry salvation to our God. And also notice that none of them is silent. They all are crying this cry, salvation to our God. And notice also that their voices are uniform, in unison as in one crying salvation to our God, every one of them. Why are they declaring this? And why will we this morning, if you are the Lord's, declare this in that day? First, it is because God alone chose them to be here. You see, no man in this number, in this day, planned on being there. That wasn't their plan. No man sought to be there. This was not their desire at one time. And no man desired it in any way. Turn with me to Psalm 14. And in verse 2, look at what it says. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Why did the Lord look down from heaven? To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did he find? Verse 3. They have all gone aside. They are all together filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It was God who planned their salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And here we are in that day, holy and without blame and before him in love. And here they are, salvation to our God. And secondly, they cry this because God provided what they needed to be here. Do you see them? That they are arrayed in white robes. These white robes is their righteousness. And God provided that. If we read Psalm 51, we hear David. And David is crying and he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. David cries, purge me with hyssop. Purge me with blood and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Here we find David is in this crowd. David has been washed. And David and now wears a robe that is whiter than snow. You see, what God requires, God provides. And these robes that they wear is the robe of righteousness that God has provided for his people. And then secondly, God provided what they needed. In the palms that's in their hand. We see the white robes, which speaks of their righteousness, but we look in their hands and there are palms. What do these palms mean? These palms represent peace with God. And if you remember, just a few weeks ago, Brother Tom was here preaching for us, and he preached the day that the Lord had, the day of his fierce anger. You see, there was a day that God was angry. There was a day of his fierce anger. And in Zechariah, it says, awake, O sword, give us against my shepherd and against he It is my fellow. See, there was a day that God was angry. And there was a day that there was no peace with God. You see, these who our Lord, who these worship is the Lamb. And that Lamb was our substitute. And God was satisfied with that substitute. And because He is satisfied with His own substitute that He provided, that there is peace between God and man. And that's why they stand there with palms in their hands. I was looking at this word peace through the scriptures, and I don't know how many times there's time after time after time again in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians and Philippians and Colossians and just a number of places, everywhere you turn, there is peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last thing I want us to look at this morning is, what is this great tribulation that we see here? Turn with me to Job chapter 19. And while you're turning there, let me remind you of Job chapter 1 and what is happening here in our text. Back in Job chapter 1, Satan had come before the Lord and had accused Job. And he told the Lord, said, well, verse 11, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath. You touch all that Job has and he'll curse you to thy face. And so now here in verse 19, in chapter 19 rather, we see that Job is being afflicted. Understand that before we read in what we're reading, that all of Job's children are dead. They've all died. And everything that Job has been taken away from him. All of his wealth. Job was a mighty and wealthy man. But all these things have been taken away from him. And also, if you were to look at Job there in chapter 19, if you could see him physically, what you would see is a man, and I quote, boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He had sores from the sole of his foot to the head of his crown. So, and not only this, but there are three men about Job. His children are dead. All of his wealth are gone. He has covered himself in sores. And now there's three men about him. And they're sitting there accusing Job. Job, you brought this on yourself. Job, this is why this happened. This is why this happened. Now let's read verse 21. And see what Job says. He says, have pity on me. Have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Graven with iron, pen, and lead in the rock forever. But look what Job says. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he says, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. You see this day? And do you see this great number? There in that mist is Job. That great tribulation that it speaks about here is the tribulation of the believer. And let me tell you something this morning. Probably without exception, there is nobody in here that is not going through some type of tribulation now. And I will tell you that without exception, in this day, they will have all gone through tribulation. Their faith will be tried. Their faith will be tried by fire. And our heartaches that we suffer, that we endure right now in this life, they are appointed of our God. They are appointed to us. All things work together to good to them who love God. God appoints our trials and our sufferings. So in this day, all the saints of God will be gathered together. All the saints of God will have gone through tribulation. But then let us see what it says, beginning in verse 15. We'll start back at 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And notice verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Verse 17, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One last passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Bible. Verse 16, in closing. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen.